Welcome to Self Mastery. I'm Michael Maestro Turner. Listen, I got my co-host with me, Justin Ross of JC Desserts. And Franklin is missing. Franklin is missing, but Justin said, I ain't missing another one. I ain't missing another one. So, you know what I'm saying? My guys missed Travis Sales. They missed Glenn Gibson. He said, bro, I'm not missing this one. Franklin had to, I think, do inventory or something with the business. So, yeah. So he's here today. Justin is here today. How you feeling, Justin?
I'm feeling good. I'm happy to be here. Happy to be here on time. Hey, ready to get into it.
Talk about it, bro. Hey, so let here we go. Here we go. All right. Let me drum rolls, please. You know what I'm saying? All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have a singer, songwriter, musician, producer, originating from North Carolina, child of God, number one, father of three, currently.
Let's go.
Father three, currently musical director for Tamela Mann. Did I say currently? For Tamela Mann and Kirk Franklin, director of worship for Concord Baptist in Dallas, which I have to stop by when next time I'm in Dallas. Yo, welcome Phil Bryant to the stage.
My God.
Yes, sir.
Welcome, brother. Self-mastery.
I want to give y'all an applause, man. You already know. You know, I'm fans of the guys I'm sitting in front of. Stro, you already know, man. Like,
thank you, man.
And we've connected from 1 to 100 immediate. So
yeah.
You know, came out to a couple shows and vibes. Yeah, you know, even when you went in there, you gave encouraging words. You like, yo, checking on my bro. You know,
yes sir.
I'm coming to the spot, bro. I ain't fast for nothing, bro.
You got to get JC Desserts, bro, while you're here. You have to.
I'm glad to be here, man. Let's chop it up, man. Let's see what you guys got going on. I'm honored to be in a space. You know, he said Glenn and Trav and all of those my guys. I'm cool.
But, Glenn said, I said, yo, I got Phil Bryant disease. You know what that is? He said, yeah. He said, of course I know. Wow. His eyes lit up. I'm like, bro, look, I'm not trying to flex. Because I ain't trying to say I'm connected to y'all, but man, I'm kind of amazed at the amount of people I'm interviewing right now. Like, this is God right here.
You're the man. You're one of the best can do it, bro. You can be trusted. I said that to our mutual friend that hooked us up, Josh.
Shout out to Josh on bass, Black Alley Bear.
Josh on bass hooked us up. And I said, I'm a borrow your homie, man. He going to be the homie too. I said, dude can be trusted. Man, I like the vibes. I like the energy. I like what we actually have conversation talking about. And even what you guys are talking about on this cast right here, man. This is stuff that I care about now. I'm getting older. I'm in my 30s. So.
And it's about what will be here when you're gone. Will your funeral be empty? I'm thinking about bigger stuff in my 30s, man. I'm not on no money. Like money, I will get that regardless. But it's like, what's after? Like, bro, I had this just, you know, we getting ahead. we gonna wax deep in a little bit. Little. So fair or foul, just wanted to just break the ice real quick. Fair or foul, man, I'm coming from Petersburg, Virginia, which is like 30 minutes, right? 30 minute commute to where I live. And so I'm driving home and my wife's like, yo, yeah, let's do Arby's. I was like, bet. And yes, I'm putting Arby's on blast right now. Mm-hmm. Arby's in the East End of Richmond. All right.
Uh-oh.
I get to Arby's. I order my food. You know what I'm saying? I got the wrap, the pita, the Mediterranean pita joint. You know where you get the meat with the pita bread? What is it called? Is that called the Mediterranean. Gyro.
Yeah.
So I got a gyro and she got mozzarella sticks. And I think that's it. Yeah, she just wanted some mozzarella. No, she got the Wagyu burger. All right. So I take my food and then they say pull up. You know, whenever they tell you to pull up, that means they backed up or something, right? So I pull up, they bring me my food, and then I say, yo, can I have some honey mustard? And she was like, oh, we fresh out. Like we had a rough day. I know you lying, but I ain't even got the bed. I was tired, bro. It was at rehearsal, and I feel like you lying to me. So anyway, I left, went home, bruh. Baby girl got the bonnet on. Bonnet Chronicles is on. I'm painting a picture for y'all, bruh. She got the bonnet on. She got the slippers. I done took off my jacket. I've been my wife beater. I got the
you relax,
bruh. Netflix, just hit play. You know what I'm saying? Bass Reeves. We watching that Bass Reeves. No, that was Paramount. Yeah, Paramount. So, bruh, I pull out. I'm eating my cheese sticks, and she's smashing her burger, right? Mm. And she's, you know, so I didn't pull anything out. I just felt like, man, I just wanted this. I went to go grab the sandwich. I was like, it's kind of light. And I just sat it down, and I kept eating my cheese sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Got ranch. I took my L on my honey mustard. Bro, I opened that joint. It was nothing but lettuce and tomatoes and the tzatziki sauce. Fair or foul.
Yeah.
I was
Ooh-wee.
Saying words that I don't say in church.
Mm.
Fair or foul, bro. Y'all got to come on. Don't leave me that, bro.
Bro, come on, man. Bruh, y'all not in that much of a hurry, man. Y'all not that much of a hurry, bro. But then what happened after that?
Honestly, I was out my maestro the motivation out the window. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, I had to repent. I'm talking about for real, bro. I was that mad. I had to take a walk. I was that upset, bro. Because it's like it's a mode for me. Like I'm coming out of the music mode, trying to come down, and I got my food, and it's a whole thing.
Uh-huh,
and then she go to work. Uh-huh. Her hours a little different, you know. So sometimes she worked 9 to 5, and sometimes she worked 11 to 8. So she had an 11 to 8 type day the next day. So I value our time together. That's our love language. The Netflix thing. People are like, I don't watch TV. Yeah, I know you deep. You grind and all that. I grind too. But me and my wife, that's our love language. We watch shows together, mm-hmm. and that also evokes thought. You know what I mean? So it evokes nice conversation. So, bro, it blew me. And she picked up the phone immediately, was like, I'm calling Arby's. And she got it all straight. We went back and they gave us extra whatever.
Mm.
And they made it right. But foul, bro. I give it a foul, bro. I was hurt.
Now.
And the manager said, I said, can we get honey mustard? The manager said, sure. The teenager ain't want to walk back in there and give me no honey mustard, bro. Oh yeah, bruh. I was
now. Can you say? Are you surprised?
I actually was. I never got service that bad in Richmond, ever. Not that bad. Not flat out laziness. Have you? I have not. Not that bad. You've gotten something that bad, bro?
Yeah, it's like yeah. It's like you can notice it sometimes, but it's like. For me, it's like I've worked all these different types of food businesses where it's like I know who's working there, I know the people that hire, and it's like on one hand, it's like I get it from that, I know who's there.
But it's teenagers.
But then on the other hand,
yeah, it's teenagers.
Yeah. So it's like
Yeah. So that's anyway, I just had to break the ice and tell y'all that and embarrass myself.
Yeah, that's a terrible story, man. Yeah, bro, I appreciate my time of TV and my time of food, man. I was at work, and you know, in the time that we work, when you get to go home and you got it all set,
it's valuable.
Mouth, it's
bro,
it's the peace.
I'm talking about
it's
my
the
mouth.
Peace.
So the first thing I did was I went hit the table like, bro, I'm telling you, that's not me. That's old maestro 2010. You know what I'm saying? I have been baptized since then. You know what I'm saying? And so my temper is way, I'm talking about my temper ain't nowhere what it used to be. I have punched a hole in the wall before at a gig. I have punched a hole in the wall. So Phil, don't judge me. That was a long
I remember those gigs, man. I was
when the money not right, the check not right, and
they got you waiting all night, and
bro,
you hard, and you ready to go home. You got church in the morning, and you still at the club at 3 a.m.
Yep.
Your little check, all
that. Wow. I'm talking about I punched, and my boy Beans was like, bro, I got you. It's all good. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to Beans. Anyway.
Now it all goes back to your piece, man. It all goes back to your piece.
It does.
Now I don't remember when I had this conversation, and it was like a brief conversation with my girl. And it was like there's legit two times out the day where it's like your piece by yourself, and that's you eating, and the other one is you in the restroom. Whether you've taken a shower, using the bathroom.
I like that.
Those are your two pieces where it's like, or at least for me, I'm gonna say at least for me, where it's like don't call me, don't text me, don't bother me. Like, leave me alone.
Flat out.
So
flat out.
I didn't even think of the bathroom when do that. The bathroom. I mean, I get the vulnerable space. It's a vulnerable space, man. It's
yeah. When you close, as soon as you close that door, it's like boom.
That's no,
it's me.
My island has appeared in the moment. My island had just popped up. I feel you.
That's real, man. So we have the amazing Phil Bryant on here. And so, man, first of all, when did you fall in love with this thing of ours, man? That piano, that organ. When did you fall in love with that? And I'll tell you mine while you're thinking, because I see you going in, you going back. Oh, I remember, bro, to me, and I have to paint this, I had to be as transparent as possible. To me, it was God, the musicians. In the church, when I was a kid, I won't pay attention to pastor at all. Bro, mm-hmm. The whole service, I'm looking at these guys. Like, what in the world? It was like crack. It was like I was hooked ever since. And so I fell in love with it at 8 years old. I started playing drums. And 9 is what I really count. 1994. I say that's when I really really decided to become a musician. And I fell in love with the piano because my cousin's boyfriend at the time, shout out to Jermaine, he came and wrecked the piano at my church. We couldn't afford an organ back then. So he came and wrecked the piano. And after service over with, everybody was lined up to shake his hand. And so at that vain moment, I'm a kid. I'm like, I want that. The drummers won't get in that kind of love. And I was like, no, I want to play that. And then my dad, Bishop, rest in peace. My dad said, son, if you learn how to play that piano, he said, you'll never go to bed hungry. I was done. I fell in love with it. And my dad reinforced that joint. So when did you fall in love, you know, what they say in the movie, with hip hop? Like, when did you fall in love
with man, let me think. The earliest memory I have is my mom. My mom was a pastor, you know, still in ministry, but not pastoring right now. She's retired from pastoring. Mom and dad, both in ministry, working. Their presiding bishop says, look, I want y'all, I grew up at a very big, very musical church at that space.
Okay.
Mom, presiding bishop said, hey, I want y'all to take over this church. I want y'all family to move, so and so and so on. So I'm like, dope, that's going to be crazy. So you go from a 1,000, 1,500 seater at the time, and at that age, I'm 6 or 7. So yeah, once your mom took over the church, she got up there and all of that stuff. So all of a sudden, they say, yeah, and the church is in South Carolina. We're like, okay, well, not bad. Okay. And the church was a church. So it was a storefront, but mm-hmm. It was a storefront that had church in a store that wasn't a church storefront. It was a church. It was like a mm-hmm. shoe store. That they put a keyboard in.
That's where I'm from, bro. I'm from that.
In the world.
Yeah, no, it's bro. That's Richmond. Bruh, a lot of that. Yeah.
We come from a fully, I'm talking about choirs, church.
So this was a shock for you. It's a culture shock.
Culture shock all the way. So I'm looking like, you know, we get in there, you know, so mom says, look, I'm going to rent out the place next door, and we're going to move the church. So now it's a blank space. She got to put chairs in. We got this. So my mom buys a keyboard. No, we find out there's no musicians, there's no drummers, there's no bass. Now I'm loving the music. I'm in the music. I'm in the Sunshine Band, all that stuff like that in my church. Loving it, you know, having a good time. I'm, you know, chilling. I'm just singing in choir, like any other kid in that sense. My mom.
He can sing too. Side note, this brother can sing. Man, I had no idea.
yeah, we're gonna come back to that too.
Yeah, keep going.
So
mom's, you know, by the organ, so she's having her first service come. The bishop decides he's not gonna be able to make it, but she has her first service, it's kicking. They got hers, about 10 people. I'm like, well, where's the musicians? Because in my sense, I'm thinking churches come with musicians at this point.
It's automatic.
We come with guys that play.
Package deal.
Yeah. So we got this. No musician.
What state is this?
This is in South Carolina. We lived in North Carolina at the time. That's where I was born. So this church wasn't 2 hours away from the house. Mm-hmm. Like from my doorstop to the church was about an hour and 50 minutes, 2 hours time.
Ooh-wee.
We're doing that 4 days a week.
Yeah, that's a big adjustment,
Get out of school, you in the car. Yeah. You know, I'm getting out of football practice. I get out of football practice about 4:30, 4:45. Mom's ready. Everybody's in the car. We riding to South Carolina. Did that for a couple of weeks and had church. And what I called it was the lowest part of church for me because I love going to church in the sense, you know. But my mom bought this keyboard, and I used to see her when she bought this keyboard. She bought a Casio. And Stro, you know all about those. Joint, they got speakers on the top. They got
so Glenn keyboard. Said the Casio was his first keyboard. He said that today.
Mine too. First keyboard.
Christmas Day.
His mom goes, buys a keyboard, and she goes to praying. She's praying, like, she get on the keyboard, she pray on the chair, and then she gets on the keyboard trying to play. Every day, I see her doing this every day for weeks. And so I'm watching, so I see the routine every weekend, every Saturday. She get up, pray, because on today we didn't go to church. She get up, pray, play, try to play on the keyboard, nothing. She ain't playing. It's terrible. It's loud. It's getting on everybody's nerves every Sunday. You know, I'm like,
mine got the chops.
It's a 6 a.m. prayer all around the house.
That's interesting.
Praying for all of us, throwing the oil on you.
Yeah.
It's up greasy. You know what I'm saying? You know, then she gets to this living room, and in the living room, she goes lay on the chair. You know, lay on the chair, and she asking God, and then she get up. You hear the piano.
Yeah.
Loud, it's terrible. Nothing's happening. So one Saturday, maybe 3 or 4 weeks into this, my aunt says, hey, I want you to go to this yard sale with me. Mom says, cool. She gets up to do a prayer stuff. She don't do the keyboard thing. Well, I'm up. I heard the prayer. I felt the oil smash in my face. So I'm like, about to be keyboard time. So I'm already getting up. Saturday morning cartoons is the vibe while she doing her thing. She decides to go to the yard sales with my aunt. So I look, I'm like, well, my mom ain't playing the piano. What's going on? You all right? So I kind of go in the living room, see what's going on. The piano's on. She not doing nothing. So I go in there and I start messing around with it. Immediately, I started having fun. It was like,
love.
Oh, wow. This reminds me of when I was at the older church. And we just playing after that. So I picked through and played a song. I'm playing it with one finger at this time.
Oh, yeah. I remember the one finger days, bro. I was learning John B. Key one finger. House,
gathering in his name. Uh-huh. Worshiping. I remember, bro. So my mom comes back to the yard from the yard sale. I don't hear her come in. She comes in the other door and I can tell. She was like, who's that on that piano? I heard her saying words. I didn't hear what the words were. She was in the other room. And I walked up to the door and said, ooh. So I'm nothing of it. My mom hears me like the end of the song and when I say my mom went crazy in that house, when I say she went, there's very few times I've seen my mom uncomposed. Like she went so crazy, bro. She cried for about an hour. She called all our family. If we would have had time, they would have all been on the phone. Like she called our family on the regular phone, got the long cord joint, calling everybody, calling my uncles, calling my aunt, calling her girls from Philly and Connecticut, like, listen to this. And I'm playing, they can't even understand. What's on the phone? What do you do? She's going crazy, dude. She's speaking in tongues, running all over the house.
Yeah.
I'm like, mom, what is it? And she told me from that day she had been praying on the piano. She had been praying for 4 weeks. She was like, God, I just want you to wake up the gift in one of my children. We didn't know what she was praying. But that's all she's praying the whole time. So in that space, I started my journey started that day.
Yeah.
And I started because I liked it, but I loved my mom. And you
saw how music affects people immediately.
Exactly.
You were hooked.
And when you get to a space where your mom or somebody needs you, and it's something like I'm like, I got that's you.
Beautiful.
So
yeah.
A rap from there. I'm like, I gotta learn these chords. I gotta play at the church. I went from playing one finger chords at the church playing two finger chords of the church. Now I'm playing for the church. Then she buys a drum set. She does the same pattern. My little brother gets up. Next thing you know, he's drum. Now he's a drummer. He's playing for right now. My brother plays for all kind of R&B artists, all the kind of stuff like that. He's
shout him out, man.
Yeah. D. Bryant, you know, one of
the
all right.
Yeah,
he's playing on the road. He's over in China playing for like all kind of stuff. He's doing crazy.
Hey, I'm getting them all next. You gonna help me get them all?
You know what I'm saying? I got you. My little sister, same thing with her. She starts singing. So we went from my mom doing this to she equipped the whole family to be the team, to be the crew, the Marvels, so to speak. You know, like the X-Men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we took it, man, and we saw how much pressure it took off her because she wanted to be with, you know, she didn't want the assignment, but she accepted the assignment. So we said, hey, we're going to support mom. And through that, music kind of loved me in a space when I didn't really love it.
Wow.
Her. Music loved me.
Nice.
It literally brought me before different things. So like when
that's
I started,
different.
Yeah, like I was doing it, but I couldn't, I was fine with not doing it for a long time. I was like, I'm doing this for church. And I would get off and I want to do other stuff. And then music opportunities will come. And I would be like, whatever, you know, a Catholic church will call and say, hey man, our musician just died. You know, my mom, okay, well, can he come and, you know, we'll teach him the stuff and show him the stuff. So I'm picking out the stuff that they got. I can't read music at the time. So I got to pick out, they got to let me hear it. And I got to look and pick it out. Now I'm playing at a Catholic church. I got to play at my mom's church. Still look cool, but I'm like, you know.
What age would you say this is?
This started around 7. I started around 9. Around 9, okay. I'm at the Catholic church. Around 9, okay. I'm at the Catholic church. And it wasn't until my aunt came in town a couple years after that. My aunt came in town. She came to stay in the same city. So she was helping my mom at the church.
Yeah.
And my aunt literally started crying every Sunday she saw me play. And
that was big for your development, the Catholic church. Big for your development.
Some of my culture shocks.
Like, different worship styles and all that. You already went big church, storefront, now Catholic.
White church.
You have now you,
white church you, in you're, South Carolina. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now I'm looking at the culture shock of this religion and these people who kind of don't really like, we still in the Bible Belt at this point. I'm in South Carolina.
Yes, sir.
South Carolina and all of the 90s. So, you know, so mom's was aunt came and my aunt every time I would play. My aunt would say things like, a little slower, a little this. And I would say, okay, cool. Give me, I was playing fast. I was trying to get through the song. I should play a little slower, play a little slower. She wasn't a musician. She was just sensitive. You know what I'm saying? Play a little slower, play a little this and this. And I'd be like, okay. And I would look and pay attention to what was happening.
Message.
He done dropped some mini jewels up in this thing, and I'm just like, I don't even want to stop him.
Hey, man. And so there's a clear call, man, for us, musician wise. We're not, you know, church kind of gets you in the minstrel thing and all this stuff, and that stuff is true. But as musicians, man, we could play in different spaces, and our gifts would work, in different, you know, environments. But we are more interpreters. We understand. Energy, we understand place and where you are,
especially and if you're a musician from the church, you understand.
Especially, you're taught that, taught to understand those spaces and those environments. That's why you can hear a quiet church and a musician can do something and the whole church go crazy. You can hear a quiet church and musician play some strings and the whole church get on the ground because we understand what's needed in that moment, what people are dealing with, what people are going through, and it starts with just being sensitive. I like to say that men have that gift in general. Men have the gift of that interpretive gift of the house. He can walk in the house, change the atmosphere, maintenance the atmosphere, shift the atmosphere. A man can walk in the house and say, you okay? What's going on here? You know, your kids running around and they're, hey, why y'all doing that?
That energy.
Whole atmosphere shifts, whole atmosphere changes. Every man.
You know who's one master of that side note? Jamal Bryant. I seen him shift up.
Oh, bro.
Without screaming, without yelling, he just say a couple words. Oh. Oh.
Me and Jamal had lunch once a quarter. We would have lunch. I lived in the DMV, so Jamal would have lunch, and he would be talking, and would be regular. He would walk in restaurants, man, and the whole restaurant would be like, "Jamal, what's about to happen?"
Wow.
It would be like, "Nigga, have you been here before?"
No, but we're not coming back.
He said, "Nope, we're not coming back." But yeah, he has that, man. In a space, he's literally looking for what's supposed to happen now. And we all, like I said, as men, musicians, and when you get the duality of the two, you realize how powerful it is. And left in the wrong hands, you know what I'm saying?
Responsibility. That's where I wanted to go from there. It is a responsibility.
That's what my aunt taught me. And it's crazy that I had more women. Because, you know, my dad was around. My dad was vital in my life, but in other spaces. But the women in my life, my mom, my aunts, things like that, they encourage the gift and they nurture, which is what women do in context. They're nurturers. So they nurture the gift. And when they nurture the gift, my dad helped me position the gift. So it was like, all right, gift is nurtured. Your gift is this. This is what we're going to do. Now you can play. People want you to play. People love to hear you play. They're going to have to help monetize what they're getting.
Speak on it.
You know what I'm saying? So dad was like, let mom nurture it.
Bro.
I'm a position you. So, you know.
I didn't have that struggle, man. That, you know, musicians have a problem with, depending on how they were taught. My dad gave me good spiritual development. He said, your gift is meant to make room for you. You're supposed to eat off it. From the day I started, he said, bro, if you stick with this, he said, you'll never go hungry. He always instilled in me that, bro, if you get good enough on this, people will pay you. And so I always would like to, but to now I'm coaching people who have an issue with more money coming their way. Or what do I charge? And how do I don't feel comfortable charge. What do you mean? There's value. There's you solving a problem. And if you solve a problem and you know the market you're in, you know, you're in Richmond. What do Richmond people get paid that have been doing it as long as you? And there's you know what I'm saying? There's benchmarks. You just need to find the benchmark. It really isn't that deep. You know, but if you were going to get brain surgery, I promise you they're going to charge you for it.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, there's as long as air condition is on, as long as I get in my car and I put the key in and gas is being used, there's an exchange of energy happening all around us. Is if you're going to get what you're worth, are you going to require that?
Yeah. And I think because we look at, I have a lot of friends that are in this space. They, because of the way they gain and develop this gift of music, they don't gain it through the normal functions or factors. So we look at other things. Like, I got a homeboy that's in finance. Well, he's always been good with money, but he went to school and he went to this, and he has like his education makes sense in this space. So the same guy that was good in money, and I got friends that were good in music, he's good in money. He has no problem charging for his time, no problem charging for his gift, no problem charging for his expertise. But I got a whole lot of musicians, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking to them, like my girl, like I'm talking to all people. I'm saying, so hey, let me ask you something. So what was the conversation? And it'd be like, well, you know, so, and it's kind of really nonchalant. And it's,
if it starts with well,
it's yeah, right. yeah.
Well, if that, hit you, that well ran dry for me a long time ago. No welling.
No, dog, that well runs dry for the kid, bro. I can't do the well. Like, this is what it works. It works. We are put on this earth to do a few things. You cannot be in a space where you know this is somewhere that you're heavily gifted in and allow it to be taken advantage of.
Come on, bro.
Ain't being that space. You got to invest the because people aren't out here trying to just, if enough of us took it seriously, we'll never have to worry about it again. It's just the majority of us have to be on the boat of saying, hey, this is actually a real thing, you know. When I was growing up in North and South Carolina at the time, it wasn't a real situation. Like, I started my musical journey started at around 16. So back to that story, around 16, Aaron Hall, my homeboy's playing for Aaron Hall. He breaks his arm. He's like, yo, Phil, I know you're still in school. We got these shows, so and so and so and so. So I'm 16. I'm like, my mom said, you can go, whatever, you can do it. She was always there. My dad was like, yeah, you're gonna miss church. I don't know about this. And my mom was like, he can do it. He needs the experience. And she already knew this is going to be what he does for the rest of his life. He needs to learn while he's under our roof, learn what music can do. So it propels you.
That's in good.
You need to go. Because for me, I thought I was going to be a football player. I was like, I'm going to play football. I went on tour with Aaron Hall. And I was like, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life.
I ain't got to run. No way.
I don't want to get CTE. I don't want my leg, bro. I'm in the millions. I'm going to miss those. I'm in a different way, dog. I want to be alive, you know. Now, aside from Aaron and them getting drunk every night and doing all of this stuff, I didn't even see that. They didn't even allow me to see that. You know, yeah. I was safe, you know, in a sense. I was safe wherever we went to the hotels. I was safe.
A lot of people think because you're doing a R&B gig or whatever that you're hanging out at parties and there's whatever going. Bro, that's not necessarily the case. You can be in the world and not be of it.
Man, you know.
You don't have to drink because everybody else drinking.
The truth is because they are. They're living, they try to
project their fears on you. Yeah.
Your issue on, you know, I was playing in clubs, man, when I was 15 years old. Wasn't even supposed to be in the club. My homeboys were like, nigga, you look old. I mean, you're gonna run it with us tonight. You're gonna run. My best friend is 10 years older than me. Yeah. So, well, 12 years older than me. He's almost 50. So,
yeah.
he's running. He's that guy. He was like, nah, man, I'm just going to keep winning tonight. After you get out of rehearsal, come to the club. You know, I'm like, cool. That's first place I actually got real money outside of the Catholic church.
Yeah.
So, all the church. Now, this time between 15 and 10, I went with Aaron and him at 16. So, at 15, I started the club stuff. But from 10, I stopped playing at the Catholic church. About a year later, they had found who they needed. So from 10 to 15, I was making pennies, if I was making anything at all. Just going to church. My mom's church, I'm not charging her or nothing like that. So it's just mom's church. It's stuff in schools, but none of that had any monetary value for me. Then I go to the club, and I ain't playing shout music all night. I ain't playing this. They know what we singing. They know what we playing. We having a good time.
And we out the door.
He gave me $250, and I'm looking like
glory.
Oh, that's all you needed. Yeah.
Oh, this is real.
And no 20-minute shouts, bro.
This is real. I did two sets. $250, and I'm chilling. They gave me all the tips that night because they really wanted to show off. They ain't never do that again.
Hell yeah.
They gave me all this. So I'm like, boy, I come home. I'm like, yeah, this is it. So back to, you know, Aaron Hall thing. I do that. Do the rest of the leg of that tour. It's about 9 shows left. I said, this is what I want to do.
Oh, so you're touring.
I'm this one.
You're getting your feet wet for real.
Yeah.
As a young child.
Out of school on the way, bro. 37 right now. Me? 37. Yep.
No. How old were you when this happened?
At this point, I was 16.
Oh, you were bred. You were being groomed for it, man.
In a crazy space. So after the tour was over, I'm like, well, what's next? On one of the shows,
we
stand around and sound checking. I'm playing my keyboard, and they was like, Phil, sing on the mic. You know what I mean? So I'm singing on the mic, playing on the keyboard, singing on the mic, having fun. We playing this little quartet song from North Carolina. So we bang quartet. That's what we do. Yeah. So we playing around, having a good time.
And them grooves be locking too. North Carolina quartet is different.
Hey man, it's a different thing, bro.
Woo, that be locking.
It'll change your life. Mike and Nate Clemens, Mike and Nate Clemens had the show Aaron was doing on that show.
Yeah.
Drew Hill was on.
Uh-oh.
Mike and Nate Clemens played for Drew Hill.
Yes, sir.
Mike played drums, Nate played bass. Mike went on to play for Usher and all those other kind of people. So they saw me at Soundcheck.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, this kid is crazy. They were like, do you produce? Do you this? I'm lying at the point. I ain't had no program.
Sure.
I do everything. I do everything. He was like, man, you got to come to the studio. He said, because Nate just moved to Durham. And I'm like, oh, shoot. They was both from Jersey. He just moved to Durham. And Durham was about an hour away from our house at the time. I was like, man, I could come whenever. Just let me know, man. He didn't know I was still in school. But I was graduating the following year, so it wasn't no issue. So,
pause. I gotta stop you, Phil. Uh-huh, gotta stop uh-huh. you. Because you just dropped a jewel that I got to expand on as far as self-mastery goes.
Yes, sir.
All right, because people that ain't musicians going to clock out. Now I'm on the clock out. So we are in a world now where people are okay with saying that they can't do something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about, bro, people take pride in having no more honey mustard. See, I'm still sour about that article. you know what I'm saying? They proud to say, I don't know how to play an A. They're mm-hmm. proud to say it. And it's like, at some point, I was taught that you say you can do it, even if you, as long as it's related to your craft in some way, mm-hmm. you say you can do it and then go home and figure it out before they ask you to do it. But don't right. say you can't do it. Don't right. don't say, you. This is Phil Bryan. If Phil can't do it, then they're going to find and get him to do it.
Somebody's going to do it.
Somebody's going
to
do it.
Even if I do it terribly, mm-hmm. at least I had the opportunity to go in and try.
And you say, know, yo, I do it. I love that.
I do. I went home. Now, by then, I had upgraded. I had a little Triton. Remember, they had the Triton, the first Triton came out.
Swiss Beats made Rough Riders on the track. That Triton. Yeah.
Mom bought me, a Triton for the church, So mm-hmm. I never used the sequencer on the joint, but I told them I know how. I sat up that whole night. And then
you figured it out.
Yep.
Figured it out. I was tracking like a pro. You were what I call a pro this time.
And I would say it's situational too. Know when to use that card. If you got time, use it. Now, if they're asking you to play an A and it's right on the spot, hey, I don't know. If you show me real quick, I can run that for you real quick.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like, you got to know when to play.
Within reason, of course. Yeah.
Within reason. Mm-hmm. That's
some people need to hear that.
Because some people look at, they're just kind of like opposites in these spaces. They look at where they're supposed to be, and then they look at where they are. And they look at, well, how far am I? And that's how they answer normally. Versus, I'm supposed to be here. This ain't nothing, but this is telling me, get there faster. You're behind.
Mm.
Somebody come in your room and come in your space and say, hey, don't you do this? And you already know it's within you to do, but you've been procrastinating. Sometimes that's the push to say, I need to get back on my grind. Because I've been grinding. But
that's my story with Ableton. People kept saying, you don't use Ableton? Well, let me go learn it then. Yeah, and then I realized it's an amazing tool to have.
Yeah, it's
and I saw Glenn using it. I was like, ooh. Yeah, I'm going to think I'm about to try it out.
Bro, mm-hmm. I did that, man. I got with the Clemens Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I showed him. So he wanted to meet in a couple of weeks. But a couple of weeks, bro, I was tracked up. I had about 20 songs just chilling on disc.
Yeah.
And he told me to come to the studio. I said, cool. I brought my keyboard. I got my disc. Now, I didn't know that they was tracking on other stuff. Disc. They was using PCs. I didn't know none of this stuff, but I brought in, played my tracks. And so my tracks were a little dusty. They were a little corny, but they were corny. I only, it was a couple weeks in. I wasn't editing in. All this other kind of stuff. I'm gonna start the track. I'm gonna play. I'm gonna play this little bass line. I'm gonna play this little. Is that what sailed for me? Was they loved my originality, and then they loved when I would play a song, I would sing the song too. So I would sing what I kind of wrote, what I had to the song, or what kind of song it would be. And that's when they was like, oh, okay, so you a singer, songwriter, producer. And I was like, I am. He was like, yeah. And he said, I'm a lot with you the whole song.
What you just said.
Nate Clemens Dot came in the room, said, I'm going to lock in with you this whole summer. We're going to be good. When I say he locked in, he bought me a computer, told me to take it home. He invested. Now I'm back to where my mom was. And that's why I was saying music loved me way before I loved
it. Imagine if he said no. I don't know how to produce.
Whole life might have been different. Might have been different.
It would have been different.
Because it's about the relationship. It's not about the gift alone. First of all, he probably could tell you went ham and learned it. And he probably could tell all that. He could tell you ain't been on it for years. You know what I'm saying? That you just learned. But the fact that you did it and he was impressed with your drive, your ambition. Like it's these things, relationships, man. You built the whole,
I built my career started. Like I said, my career started. God has had me Music has had me way before I had it. And it literally was work. It was my steps being ordered, not me walking through. And I was like, oh, yeah, I can do that. And that, yeah, I can do that, got me in a room with guys who had, they had just signed a publishing deal with Disney for like $3.5 million. So they needed me because they wanted producers under them that was going to work on the projects that they were doing. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what that was. I'd never been in a studio, but that was my first studio experience other than, you know, when you at home and the guy said, oh, I got a studio, and this is quartet dude. He got four mics set up and a piano and an ADAT machine. I ain't never been to a studio that's got one in one room, you know? So I'm looking in, it's like, okay, cool. Well, let's see what it is. And I'm walking in, you know, ready to receive whatever. And I played my tracks. He was like, dude, I love the ideas. We got to get you right. I'm going to work with you this summer because we got a lot going on. I want you to sign with us. I want you to. I said, okay. He never gave me paperwork that day. He said, I'm going to work with you first. If you like the work, if you like what we're doing, I'm going to sign you to Clemens Brothers Entertainment. You're going to be one of our in-house producers.
It reminds me of No ID and Kanye. It just kind of reminiscent.
Facts, yeah. Facts, bro. Facts. So I said, cool. When I left out, I had a computer. I had a computer, I had some programs. So he was like, I want you to go home, fool around with these programs, tell me what you think about them. If you don't like these, I got another one I could probably get. He gave me a program called Cubase. And he gave me a program called Reason.
Reason, man.
Yeah, Reason.
And I didn't work on Cubase, but I worked on Reason. I used to love Reason, bro. That was crazy.
That, bro, he gave me those on the computer. I didn't know how to do it. I came back 2 weeks later because they was out. Our tour was over. They were still out. I came back 2 weeks later. I knew how to use them. I knew how to do whatever. I was hyped. I was, you know, they had internal samples, internal sound.
Yeah.
So he was like, let's go. So he was off the whole summer. I'm talking about every day we was going, doing records, writing records, coming up with stuff, showing me this, showing me how to do this, showing me MIDI, showing me. Yeah. I didn't know none of that. I'm talking about he took me through. I'm talking about boot camp, bro.
Yeah.
He said, Phil, you ready? This was like a month later. He was like, you ready? You got your first session coming up. I was like, oh, okay, cool. My first session was with a group called Virtue. It's a gospel group. So they was like,
first session with Virtue.
Yeah. First session. Didn't know who they were.
Justin, Virtue was yo, bro.
I had no idea. I listened to Quartet. I knew who Pompey Key was. I knew who Hezekiah Walker was. I knew,
yeah, they were dope.
These dope. So the Virtue Girls came in and they was dope. And they was
my mom loved them. She loved
them. My mom too. My mom too, bro. So they writing songs on the spot, man. I'm like,
on the spot.
Let's go. Let's go. So Nate's in there. Nate was like, Phil, they need something to help with this verse. They need something to help this. So I walk in. I'm a kid. I'm 17 at this time, going on 18. You know, they was like, okay, cool. They don't know my age, so they look, they assume, and I just look young, damn, whatever. I come in, I get on the board, I'm doing, so I'm singing what I think they should put in the shoe. Like, that's crazy. Yeah, let's do it. Next thing you know, we doing their album. I'm a part. Like, they're leaving me in the studio, bro, with the girls. We're writing something together.
And they're still relationship.
Still relational.
Because it was also a vibe, right?
You got it. That's it. Bro, we're in there. We're writing songs with this. So they was like, yo, we want to keep this song. We'll do this. I'm like, cool. Nate and them was like, all right, cool. Well, we got a show. So we're going to be gone for 2 days. So you're going to run the sessions for while we're gone. I'm like, first of all.
Sure, I want to go on the road and do the show. What you mean?
On the road. Why y'all got this session? And he was like, because you need publishing. But what's publishing?
Boot camp, bro.
Bro. Hey, what's publishing? Well, publishing is the royalty chain by which
he was your guardian angel. He was your spirit guide.
He was pops for a while, Doc. He was pops. He was like, you know, by which this is how we live. Mailbox money. This is what's going to help you. It's going to help you keep working and keep
mailbox moving. Money.
This check is going to come to the mailbox from people that you don't even know.
Glory.
They're going to pay all your bills.
Glory.
So I'm looking like. Oh, yeah, I didn't know what that was. I
need mailbox money. I never heard that.
He's like, yeah, that's how we
new generation, aka passive income.
He said, yeah, that's how we built this compound. You know, our passive income from royalties. And then we did a lucrative deal with Disney for $3.5 million. I'm sitting there like, I'm understanding money more. I'm 17, but I'm not 27. to understand, because you don't understand the weight of money until your need for money is heavy. Then you understand the weight. So
I feel like your first big check is coming. Is that what's about to come?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. So I'm sitting there like, okay, cool. We need that. So do the virtue stuff.
Yeah.
And just keep working. We keep working. I started working with Mike, winded up marrying Coco from SWV. So she did two gospel albums.
Facts.
Yeah. Winded up doing that. You know, we did a song. Coco had a song on her album, Endow Me. And all that. We were just working. There was good stuff happening. We was working with them. We worked with CC Winans. You know, we worked with all kind of artists, bro. We did R&B. Mm-hmm. So R&B came the following. We did, you ever heard a group called Rough Ends?
No.
Did Rough Ends album. We did Drew Hill. Working, bro. We working with, and I'm having a good time.
And you're handling your business too.
Handling my business. That's showing me what I'm supposed to be.
That's
doing,
so beautiful.
How I'm supposed to go. But I ain't expecting nothing because in my head, you know, it's mailbox money. It's going to be passive. So when you hear as a kid, you 18, going on 17, 18, you hear passive. You're like, okay, it's passive. It's
not 17, yeah, okay, bro. Cool. If it ain't coming today, you don't care. You don't care, 17.
Yeah.
My mama hit me. My mama hit me and said, hey, you got a couple of... You got a couple of envelopes in the mail. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll get to it when I get home. I look at it and it says BMI. Now, for me, I remember BMI only from when
BMI.
I signed the thing. And my mom had to be, and it was care of my mom, because I'm still not 18 at this point.
Yeah.
So it's me, care of my mom. So she was like, well, yeah. I said, well, I left him on the counter for like a week. And nothing. And my
Stop
boy was
playing.
Dude, I left him at least a week, maybe a little longer. My mom was like, why you didn't open that mail? And I'm like, oh, I forgot. I forgot. She was like, well, I'm going to open this. Got my name
this
on it.
This is getting good.
Mom opened that mail, bro. So she opened the first mail thing, and it was like $400, $450 or something. So I was like, oh, man, I'm going crazy. Like, I got mailbox money. My mom was like, yeah, that's nice. It's nice. Because in her head, she's like, well, these guys told me he was going to be good. He could be able to take care of himself. $700, ain't no. Man, I'm going crazy. I'm like, yo, I'm calling. I'm drunk. I got to call Mike. Yo, I got my first check, guys.
Yeah,
they're like, yeah, what you got? I got $400. They was like, okay, that's good. And I'm like, why ain't everybody as excited as I am? For me, I didn't care because my mom was putting gas in the car. My mom was paying the bills. I was living at
that part.
So for me, the value of money wasn't that rich. It wasn't that depth, you know, that depth of
17, bro. Say less.
Yeah, 17. She opened the next check, and that thing was 19,000.
Ooh, wish. I think they heard me in the kitchen over there. Dang, boy.
So I'm doing this. I'm looking at her like, I mean, that's cool too. I mean, we just got more money. So I'm like, I'm not the 19 killed the 400 for me. But the 19 killed the 400 for everybody else in the equation.
Five figures.
What we didn't know was, and I didn't know at the time, because I wasn't tracking the music that we was doing. Everybody's music was coming out. And this is in the 90s. This is going into the 2000s. Well,
yes,
this
sir.
Is 2000s now. So yes, early 2000s, everybody's money was crazy in music. So you virtue making money out of virtue. So later on in that year, you know, virtue got nominated for Doves and stuff like that. So we won. We won like two. We had an urban song of the year, urban album of the year. So I'm looking at the stuff and I'm like, those are things I'm going crazy over. Money was never the thing I went crazy over the time because it was always coming at that space. Mm-hmm. So as I got older, so around 17, I moved out of my mom's house. I went to stay in another city with my dad. He was closer to work. Started that. And then when I was staying with him, Tasia had just won American Idol. I was playing in, remember I told you I was playing in nightclubs. The
right.
group I was playing in.
And Rico, you're from North Carolina.
Yeah, Rico, Teeny,
Chico,
we was all in the group together. So we was doing, it's called Infinity. So we was playing, Dot, we was playing, Tasia won American Idol. I'm producing, and I'm like, congratulations, I'm telling them all the luck, but it's gospel, they're not really doing gospel, so they like it, they happy for their boy, but it, you know, whatever. What winds up happening is, she wins American Idol and they're ready to put her on tour. So when they get her to put her on tour, they use Rihanna's band. Rihanna's band is on retainer. So Tasia's 2 weeks from going on tour. They've been rehearsing. They've been in LA rehearsing. They're ready to go. Show's tight. Everything. Well, Rihanna calls. She's going on tour with Jay-Z. She's going to finish up the tour with Jay-Z and Kanye. Band got to go. Because they don't retain. They already said in the contract, if something happens to this, we got to go. So they're out. She's sitting in the thing crying. She don't have no band at that space and all that stuff like that. And
that's how it go.
It's homie. Tasia is home. So she called Rico. I need help. What are we going to do? He was like, well, let me call the boys. They can do it. Well, we all know we ain't never done no major tour. I played on the road, but I'm playing what they're giving me. I'm not MDing the tour. I'm not doing the programming and stuff. And so I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
Old stems. So
they called me. Yeah, we don't know how to manage none of that. But so I called, you know, Mike and Nate, and I'm telling them, they was like, nigga, what are you talking about? You produce. You use stems every day.
Yeah.
You take the vocals, and then you burn the vocals out.
The words, yeah.
It was just what, you know, yeah. I'm saying, well, yeah, but they didn't say it like that. Oh, I'm good. I'll call you back. I'm like, yo, I got it. Let's go.
Yeah. You were being groomed.
That, again, music loved me.
Hey, I got to tell you this real quick. Jump, mm-hmm. You can jump right back in. Mm-hmm. But I told Glenn this earlier, and he had a special response to this. But I think it's in Mark, but it talks about God sitting like a silver refiner, right? And they were talking about it in a Bible study, and the lady said, everybody was like, well, what does that mean? She said, I'll tell you back next week. So she sets up an appointment with a silverist. I don't know. A silver refiner. All right. So she sits with the silver refiner, and he starts to take the silver, and he drops in the flame, and he just holds it there for like forever. She said, what are you doing? She said, I have to drop it in the flame until it's burned all the impurities out.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Then he says, she said, well, how do you know? He said, if I hold it too long, I mess up the silver. She said, well, how do you know it's done? When I see my image in it. Bro, when I think about my life, when I think about what you just told me, bro, people don't understand. Don't ask for Phil's anointing, because you don't know what he's had to go through to get it. And you may not be willing to go through that. From death in the family to, you know, setback, sabotage. It's a whole lot of ugly, too. We talking about the good right now, but there's some ugly in there, too. And so it's that refiner, bro. You was being groomed. Like, you literally were being groomed. And God was just like, boom, 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 light it up for you, bro. Praise God.
That's facts, bro. That's facts. That's why that's
you can steal that too. You might want to drop that on the mic on Sunday.
I told him, man. And that's one of my mom's favorites. I think that's from like Malachi or something like that.
Is it Malachi? Yeah, I think it is Malachi.
Finding the pure silver, and she preached about that all the
time. But I never knew what it meant. I just know they said it, and the organ was behind it. Bro, so that's my big thing. I've been rereading scripture and rereading and so my thing is, let's not just read it, but let's make God's values my values. That's the difference than just saying no weapon formed against me. Okay, that's cute, but what does it mean?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So what are you actually saying? What does it mean to have fruit of the Spirit? Because it ain't fruits, it's fruit. One. Patience, love, tolerance, like self-control. All of those is one fruit that you have the Spirit of God working within you, that you're representing the kingdom of God here in the earth.
Exactly.
And so that's what I'm doing. I'm applying the scripture now instead of just reading and quoting it.
That's powerful, bro. That's powerful. All of
Yeah, bro. Real quick, let's get serious. How much longer are you going to do it alone? You know? There was a time where I was doing it alone, and when you do it alone, you just think you're more smarter than you really are. You think you're more brilliant than what you really are. Everything is dope. And when you bounce ideas off of someone else, it makes a difference. When you go to somebody else and you actually strategize with no feelings, just principles, solid strategies, it's a game changer. And so I remember being a musician. I've been playing for 30 years. And so in this 30th year, I've been playing since 9 years old. I'm 38 now, and pretty much my whole life, I remember hooking up with Beans, hooking up with John, hooking up with multiple people that it was at least five of us just coming together and doing the same thing, same mentality, fearless, going after it, and we believed, flat out, we believed. And so it's different when you run with other people. I didn't know that I had coaches. It was unofficial, but I had coaches. And so if you're tired of doing this alone, you've been doing this on your own, you have hit this glass ceiling, it's just glass. We're going to break through that thing. And I'll give you my strategies. Above all, we're going to help you change your mindset. We're going to help you make different decisions. Because success doesn't require you to look out of the window, it requires you to look in the mirror. It's just some different decisions you got to make, some different people you got to keep in your circle of influence. Listen to me. Above all, the mindset. So if my voice resonates with you, if our spirits are connecting for whatever reason, then don't play with it. Strategist.maestro@gmail.com. Email me. Strategist.maestro@gmail.com. And just write simply in the subject and the body of the message. Coach me. And we're gonna get the process started, okay? All right, I will see y'all on the other side. No excuses, no days off.
And it was because it was the purest form. It was that agape, like that real love that later on I would understand and walk through. But I didn't know the people that literally came in and boot camped me or, you know, focused me and stuff like that, mom, friend. I didn't understand that they weren't damaged. You know what I'm saying? So they were able to share with you what they had. You know, in our society, we're taught you're supposed to get something, you hold it. You don't teach nobody nothing. You don't show nobody how to do nothing. You don't, if you're a musician, cool, but you be at church. When I was coming up, the nigga that was playing at the church, the old guy that was good, he didn't teach you nothing. They let you play around on the instruments every once in a while, but he ain't teaching you. He wasn't teaching no chords. He wasn't teaching do this instead of this. You know, but he wanted to keep his money and his job and this, so it, you know.
So that's where I'm from. So it's like that. It was like that in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Bro, but let Glenn and Travis and Corey and them, bro, they got a, there's a brotherhood.
Yeah,
they're breeding musicians.
Because, you know, New York was a different space. You know, New York was a different space.
Bro, why are we like this down here?
No, it's crazy. And the crazy, it's
you hear this, Justin?
Oxymoron, because
I'm thinking.
New York are mean. Yeah. There's some of the meanest people that you New York and Jersey, meanest people you ever meet.
Uh-huh.
You go to North Carolina, Virginia, they're the nicest people you ever meet.
Right.
But when it comes to that trade off,
and the gatekeeping is real.
Yeah.
Gatekeeping is
North
real.
North Carolina, they're like, oh, no, I ain't showing you that now. You can come to the house and chill, watch some TV, but we ain't playing no keyboard.
Yeah.
See, you show me how to play some of that song for school? No, I don't know that song.
Yeah.
That's that. You go to New York, they got musicals all night. They got midnight musicals every day on weekend. Mm. So you going in there, you learn it, you on the keyboard, you did it, like, never. It's never us.
The opportunities don't come enough.
No, it's a gatekeeping spirit, bro. It's a gatekeeping
spirit. That's what I'm saying. It's like,
they feel threatened. Like, they feel threatened. I don't care if you're 2 years old. They feel threatened.
That's what
bro.
I'm saying. Is it threatened because I don't know where I'm gonna get that next opportunity to be in the same space, the same weight I'm holding wherever I'm at? Can I get it from somewhere else? Like you say, like, you drove another hour or so to another church. Like, is it part of that? I mean, I don't know.
That could be some of behind it. Or it could be
it's a lot. Like, it's a lot. Yeah.
You know what I'm gonna say, Phil? I think it is truly a disconnection of discipleship.
I can agree.
Because if you're about this thing of ours and you want it to be go past your death, then you're going to help little Phil and show him chords. Because you're going to die one day. One thing's for certain, 100 years from now, we gone. So you got to look out for little, you know what I'm saying? Little Timmy want to play. Let him play. Bro, I never kick kids off the instruments after church, bro. Never. And they'll come up to me like, I'm talking about they banging on stuff and all that. And the parents be like, no, no. I'm like, yo, leave him alone. That was me. It's a disconnect from what we're really supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be creating more Levites, bro.
Yeah. And the crazy part is you'll hear musicians from the upper part, the northern, their interpretation of music is similar. You're hearing, oh, that's that New York sound. Because musically, they knew how to stick together, and they have come up with their own sound and their style, and they taught the young ones, and they allowed the young ones to glean from them. All that stuff. Here in North Carolina and places like that, it was
get it how you live.
Yeah, you just figure it out, and in you hear musicians that made it from where I'm from, the Virginia to North Carolina, South Carolina, because they moved somewhere else and found
they
something.
They end up moving.
It's very rare that you get a stroke. You know, it's very rare you get a stroke that's from the VA, and he stayed in VA,
going to the schools and
going to the schools doing his thing.
Yeah,
it's very rare because it's so much that the success is not the goal from them. It's just survival. They don't want to be successful. They just want to. They want to survive. And if I can play the keyboard while I'm surviving, dope. But I'm gonna survive. I ain't gonna be successful. I don't have anything to invest in your success. I don't care nothing about your success. You need to figure your own success out. Mm-hmm. I want to be successful enough to survive.
And I'm not trying to be,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I ain't trying to be no Fortune 500 company. I ain't trying to get millions of dollars. I just want to be able to, when the light bill comes,
I don't even want mailbox money.
That's where it comes from.
I just want to pay that $200 mailbox light bill when it comes in the mailbox, and I want to be able to still get something to eat that for the rest of the week till the next bill comes.
Bill, is it
exactly.
safe to say that your life also changed with those 5-figure checks, where you stopped viewing the work time for, you know what I'm saying? Because when you had that job at Target, well, I had a job at Target, you know what I'm saying? I realized time for money ain't gonna work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just not enough. It's a cap on that. But when you create something that solves a problem for somebody, whether you're a musician or not, whether you create something that solves a problem for someone, then you are able to put a price on it. In this capitalist society, you can win.
Exactly. You're going to run out of time for money. You're going to run out. You're going to run out.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be at a factory somewhere. You're going to run out, bro.
It's your gift. It's your gift. And I'm thinking as you say that, when I think about even just myself, like as my gift, I feel like there's no limit on what I can do. But as soon as I go sign up to work for somebody else, some other job, boom, I'm only there for the time. The time is compensated with the check, and that's all I can get. It don't matter how much they can pay me hourly, that's all I can get. But in my gift, I can create the same job I'm working at. Boom, that's one thing. Now I can go create something else within that same field. Let's say I'm making cronuts. Now I can open up another shop that does chocolates. Boom, I'm opening up another shop that does something completely else. Whatever the case is, I'm jumping
into
real
estate.
You get them
NDAs out and duplicate yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. Within just that of my gift, I've created multiple streams of whatever. But if I'm just working 9 to 5 somewhere else, that's all it is.
And here's the beautiful part. I teach this, Phil. Create the drip until the drip becomes a stream. So for you just sitting here listening, you're like, well, I'm already out of this conversation. I didn't end up playing on tour at 6:17. Okay, don't X yourself out of this conversation. There's a process to this thing, and you have to understand that you can create a drip until it's a stream. Okay, so what's a drip until it's a stream? You're a barber, right? And you keep doing the barbering thing, and you want to be a motivated speaker, or you want to be a full-time musician. Guess what? You keep on barbering until the gigs are so pulling on you that you can't even barber anymore. You got to do appointments only. Then after that, you just got to stop it all together because the music. So you can. There's a way to transition into full-time. You don't have to be super risque.
No, you don't have to. You just got to identify. You got to be able to see and be sensitive. Like I was saying, my aunt talked sensitivity. You got to be sensitive to your market, to your space. If it's connected to your gift,
to your
sensitivity,
market.
It's almost like Spider-Man, dog. When Spider-Man, he wouldn't run around. His spider sense didn't go off when the stock market crashed. Spider sense went something close and was in danger. And if you understand what your gift is, you'll understand when your sense is going, your sensitivity is going. Like, oh, whoa, what's going on? I need to figure it. It ain't gonna be for that. So stop focusing on all the stuff that's not for. Understand where you are currently and understand the energy in your current space. Let your spider sense, let your sensitivities go off in your space, and it'll help you develop and develop and develop.